welcome to Last Wednesday, everybody. Last Wednesday, it had in my mind last Wednesday, next level. It is next level. It is the last Wednesday, but it's next level. If we haven't met, I'm the campus pastor here in Oakley. Couple things. First of all, make sure you get a Sharpie. We have these buckets of Sharpies. Looks like most of you got your Sharpies when you came in. You're going to need those later. And I just want to tell you, next level for me, I am so excited when I come here. I have a day just like everybody else has a day, and I go home, and I got to go home today and kind of refresh a little bit, and it's like, man, do I have it in me to come back? And as soon as I come in here and I start to see you guys come in this space, I just get excited because I think God has something good for us tonight. I believe that. And so I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. At Next Level, what I would say is this. Versus the weekend, we dial up the challenge a little bit at Next Level. We certainly dial up the community, and that's why the lights are up. And we're just going to be a community together learning how to receive from God. We started this theme a couple months ago at Next Level, and we're going to continue it tonight. So I just want to invite you guys to stand up because the song that the band has been playing is just a beautiful opportunity for us to receive truth about who God is and who we are. And so I want you to sing your guts out. This is about freely coming before God and worshiping Him tonight. So I hope you're ready for that because that's what you're in for tonight. It's going to be awesome. I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Here we go, guys. Sing loud. You're a good, good father. Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, you're a good, good father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are.
Great, and your heart is kind. For all
The end draws near, my time has come. Still my soul is in your praise, unending. Yeah. 10,000 years and then
tonight and the amazing weather outside, and for all of these people in here, God, we are here to lift you up and to sing your praises and to make you high and to just tell you how wonderful, beautiful, and amazing you are. And I thank you for who you are, that you are forever faithful, God. And I pray that we sing at the top of our voices as loud as we can with all of our soul and all of our might, God, and that you hear it and that it soaks into your heart and makes you smile. So, thanks for being with us, God. Amen.
Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
To the Lord, our God and King, His love endures forever. For His good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise,
sing praise,
sing praise.
Yeah,
with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love. Forever God is faithful.
His love endures forever. Your love endures forever. Your love endures forever. Forever. Your love endures forever. Your love endures forever. Your love endures forever.
God, I thank you that your love endures forever truly, that you sent your son to rescue us, and that that love is freely available to us today, God, and that you live in our hearts and that you love us so much and you guide us and you're with us each and every day and you're with us right now. I thank you for your presence and that you hear us. You are so good and forever faithful. Amen.
Just a warm-up. We're gonna get back to some of that, because that's good stuff right there. So we're going to get back to that in a moment. But tonight, we are continuing in our series that we've been in the Next Level around receiving. So yes, we are back. We are back. Next Level is back. Arnold Schwarzenegger is not in the building, but we are back. And I just want to continue to give us vision around this. We've been doing these now for a few months, and I just wonder, like, how many people, is this your first Next Level? Would you just put your hand up? This is your first. Look at those hands. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're excited to have you with us. And again, this is an environment where we are strengthening our muscles as people who said yes to Jesus. And what that looks like primarily is recognizing that if I were to take a poll of this room, on average, most of us have been following Jesus for some period of time, but there's a lot of us that are kind of in this early phase of that. We're still trying to figure it out. Or maybe we've been religious for a long time, but we've had a rediscovery of our faith. And so for a lot of reasons, there's a need to kind of establish a strong foundation of what does it look like to live this life of following Jesus. And what we've been recognizing is it begins actually with receiving. That's what it begins with. That's how you came into the family of God, is you received help that Jesus was offering. How many people know that? Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You were a person who recognized you needed help. And in your need for help, you cried out to Jesus and said, would you help me? Is there anything you can do to help me? And you received the life that Jesus had for you. And so we've been talking about what does it look like to be a good receiver. And so at Next Level, that's what we've been focusing on. So if you are here for the first time, just to give you a little bit of context of what we do here, Next Level is about maturing followers of Jesus. And we do that really by three things. The first is what happens in here is exposure. Exposure happens in here. So tonight we're going to be talking about things that maybe you've heard for the first time. For some of us, maybe we've heard these for the 31st time. But we're going to be exposing some things that the Bible teaches us about what it means to receive from Jesus, what it means to receive from God. But we don't stop there at Next Level. The next thing we do is we experiment. And that happens out there. That happens outside of these walls. And like I said, you get homework. Because this isn't just about you getting more and more knowledge. More and more knowledge is actually a very dangerous thing for a person in a place like this. If you get more and more knowledge but don't act on it, the Bible says you actually are deceiving yourself. So we want you to learn and expose yourself to some things in here, but we also want you to experiment and put them into practice, because that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And finally, there's an opportunity for exchange with each other. How many people know you can't grow without community? You need other people around you to grow. In fact, there's going to be a couple of opportunities tonight to engage with some people around you as we talk about what it means to receive. But we are really excited about everybody that comes to Next Level having a place where they can exchange what they're learning through these experiments with other people. So if you're new or if you don't have a group, I want you to know right after tonight, you can head on over to Meeting Room C. And over there, we've got a find a group event. And let me just explain how this works. There's no magic to this, but basically, you're going to go in that room, and we're going to, like, count off. You know how you do that, like, when you're playing a game, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, it's going to be that kind of thing where you get connected with some people who are in the same place. Hey, I want to grow, and I'd love to do that in the context of community, and we will help facilitate a connection. And the goal really is that sometime between now and the next Next Level, You'll meet with that group of people after you've gotten a chance to do the experiment that you'll get when you text 313131. After you've done that experiment, you can get with that group at some point and just talk about how it went. We'll provide you with some questions. We'll text you some questions that you can use to facilitate that group time. Really, really important that as you come to Next Level, you also experiment and you get into a place where you can exchange what you're learning with other people. Now, for some of us, we're already in an environment where we have that community. It could be a small group. It could be something that we do around here called a huddle. And I just want you to know, if you are in an environment already where you have someone that you can exchange with, great. You don't have to add another group to your life. I thought I'd get an amen on that one, too. We're not asking you to add another group to your life. And really, we're excited that you're here because this is also a corporate place where we go into more worship. And later on, we're going to do communion. But that's the rhythm of Next Level. We expose you to the things the Bible teaches about following Jesus, particularly about being a receiver, is what we're going to talk about tonight. And then you experiment. We're going to give you some ways to tangibly put into practice what I say tonight. And then finally, we want you to be in a group where you can exchange those things. And what we're talking about when we say grow in a relationship with Jesus is this framework. We've used this around here for a while. If you were to kind of summarize the journey of what does it look like to be a follower, we all start in a place of seeking. This is before we know who Jesus is. We're seeking, but at some point, as I said, you recognize that you need help and that Jesus offers life and you receive that life. And we're really focusing in on that because in order to be a good follower, and actually to produce fruit, it all is based on a foundation of learning to be a good receiver. And that's why we've been in this series on Next Level where we're talking about receiving. So if you were here last time, last month we had our Night of Hope. So if you were here in June, you got to hear from my good friend, Westside Campus Pastor Greg McElfresh. Did Greg not bring it when he came? And when Greg was here, he was talking about these two routes that we can kind of take in our journey with God. Route one, as he talked about, was really this idea of, I don't know who Jesus is, but you know what? I think I can help him out. And that sounds funny, but the truth is, when you're engaging in religion where you think your works somehow are what balances the equation between you and God, that's in essence what you're saying. You're saying, I don't need your help, but let me help you out. Let me do good things. And if you notice me doing good things, God, then all of a sudden you'll like me more and you'll bless me more. That's religion. That's route one, and it's actually corrupt. It's actually the very thing Jesus came to come against. But there's a second route. Thank God, there's a second route, which is, I don't know Jesus, but I will take everything he is offering to me. And that's what it means to receive. But honestly, if I think about even my own life, the truth is, I spent my first 20 years of following Jesus really living out route one. Really thinking that it was about me being a good church boy and not doing these things and doing these things, you know, not drinking, but making sure I pray a whole lot, not smoking, but doing these things. And I'm telling you, all that did was put me on a treadmill where I was destined to fail, where I was destined to feel in some way that God was in my debt. It didn't work. It didn't work. And yet I spent 20 years thinking that that was the way that I would have relationship with Jesus. I was in church every week, and I was following route one. And I just tell you, I am so excited for you guys to get this tonight before it's 20 years down the road for you. For this to be the foundation from which you build a relationship with Jesus, man, I am so excited about that. So the last time we got together, we said, hey, it's about receiving, and you had an opportunity to receive. At all of our sites, we had prayer team members there, and they'll be here tonight as well, and we said, hey, come and receive prayer. A practical way to receive from God is to let someone else in the family of God pray for you. And over 50% of the people at all of our sites stayed, hung out, and got prayed for. That is amazing. That is amazing. Way to go. Way to go, because what that says is it's really a good indicator. Your ability to receive from another person is a really strong indicator of how easy or difficult it is for you to receive from God. So the fact that you were willing to receive from a broken, flawed, not perfect person, but a person who was willing to offer you what they had in the form of prayer says a lot and bodes well about your ability to be a receiver. And so tonight, we're going to just continue to dive into that topic of what does it look like to receive. But as I said, we dial up community when we come to Next Level. So it's not going to be just me talking the whole time. And in fact, we're going to have an opportunity right now for you to have a little bit of an exchange with someone around you. I'm actually going to ask you to find someone you didn't come with, someone you don't know. And I want you to spend just a minute and a half each, just kind of sharing really briefly, what was your route in your relationship with Jesus? If you think about your life with Jesus up to this point, would you say, I've been following Route 1, or I came through Route 1, I was very religious and had to learn or unlearn some things regarding that? Or would you say, honestly, mine was Route 2. You know, I really came to this broken, and I've been in this posture of receiving. So I want you to stand up. Right now, I want you to find someone you didn't come with. They can be on your row. You don't have to wander to different levels. Spend about a minute and a half each sharing a bit about Route 1 or Route 2, what your story was. If the second person hasn't started talking, go ahead and let them begin. Your way back to your seat. So 3 minutes is not a whole lot of time. Anybody ever played the game Heads Up, Seven Up? Remember that game? You put your head down and answer a question. We're going to do a version of that right now. So close your eyes. And I just want to ask you a question. How many people think you would have benefited from having another 5 or maybe even 15 minutes to talk to the person you just were interacting with? Close your eyes, put your hands up. Close your eyes and put your hands up. All right, you can open your eyes. You can open your eyes. I agree. I agree. That's why we want you to be in community, because I just know that as I talk with different people who have had different roots in their relationship with Jesus, or maybe different expressions of the same root that I've had, I learn a ton. And that's really why we want you to connect. And it's also really important that we all recognize, no judgment on this, if you have come into relationship with Jesus through Route 1, you have some things you have to unlearn. You have some things you need to unlearn. And if you have come into relationship with Jesus and you would say, man, I didn't know any better, so I've been receiving because I don't know anything. I would say, you are blessed. You are blessed. Praise God. The person who brought you to Jesus, you need to call them, text them, and thank them that they didn't send you on a works-based faith, but they let you recognize that it's based on receiving what Jesus had for you. That person did a good job. You need to thank them tonight. Seriously, that's a good, good thing. So I want to actually give you guys a scripture to memorize. Wow, somebody said wow. Yeah, I want to give you a scripture to memorize. You don't have to be in right relationship with Jesus. You don't have to, right? This isn't about works. But this has been a really helpful scripture to me. It's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And it says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I love this verse because it's a great reminder to me that route 2 is the way into the kingdom. Therefore, just as you received, continue to receive. That's what this verse basically says. This is a verse I go back to often because it really helps me remember the key point I want you to take away from tonight, which is this. Receiving is our proper orientation toward God. Receiving is our proper orientation to God. A couple years ago, I had a sobering revelation after having been on staff at Crossroads for a couple of years. Because, you know, on the front side of going into ministry, if you had asked me, what do you think is the greatest temptation you'll face as you step into being a pastor? I probably would have told you, you know, well, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of pastors who struggle with, like, moral, you know, like affairs and like just their marriages tank. And maybe that's a big temptation that pastors have. Or, you know, man, there's a lot of shady things that you can do with money. And I see that a lot showing up on the news. Maybe that's the greatest temptation a pastor will face. I probably would have had a very different answer than I do right now. And I will tell you on the other side of that, for sure, I believe the greatest temptation in ministry is this. The greatest temptation in ministry is to preach route 2, but live route 1. To preach grace, it's about receiving. It's not based on what you do. Your identity and your worth before God is not based on what you do. That's good preaching. That's preaching route 2. But then it is so easy to live route 1. And when you live route 1, evidences of that is anxiety, fatigue, frustration beyond what's normal in a challenging role. And it's oftentimes because you're living out a very inconsistent thing. It's about grace, but you're making it about works. And so I'll just tell you on the front end, that I know now that's the greatest temptation in ministry. And so God continues to put me in places to continue to learn lessons about how to receive. I'm in one right now. I mean, I'll tell you right now, as we gear up for the fall, the campaign is coming up. I'm in campaign. I'm excited about the campaign. And I tell you what, it is going to be a busy season for me. It's going to be a busy season for my family. We're doing things together as a family around the campaign in our home and different things. It's going to be a very busy season. And it is very easy to think about that and say, I got to jump on the treadmill. If I'm a part of the team, I got to just do the hard things over and over again. And I'm telling you, God continues to remind me, I've got some things that you're going to do, but they only happen out of a place of receiving. They only happen, the fruit that I want out of your life is only good fruit if it comes first from a place of receiving. So God has given me kind of two things to focus on. One is for my family and one is for me personally. The one for my family is this summer, our motto as a family was, the Mingos are going to play hard. We're going to play hard because when the fall comes, we're going to work hard, but we're going to play hard. And so we've been focused really as a family on what are ways that we can recreate. What are ways that we can rest? What are ways that we can receive from God? Knowing that we're going into a busy season, we need to be in a posture of receiving toward God. That's our proper orientation toward God. So that's what it's looked at like as a family. But for me personally, God has been very, very clear with me. The priority of every day is the time you spend in my presence. And so every day, you better believe, there have been temptations to shortchange that time with God. Or make it about other things. Make it about reading through the Bible for the sake of finishing a certain book. But God has been very clear with me. I just want you sitting in my presence, receiving from me. And he's been giving me these pictures over and over again of bread and water. Like when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, that is not a metaphor. The life that you live in him is fueled by the bread of his presence. It's fueled by literally consuming who Jesus is for you. Like that's where your life really comes from. And when Jesus says, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And if he drinks of me, then out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. That's not a metaphor. Literally, you can come before Jesus and drink in the truth of who he says about you in the scriptures. You can drink in the Holy Spirit that he fills you with. And as you do that, literally, you will have something of life to give to other people who are also thirsty. So our proper orientation toward God is to receive. It is so important. And I think that's why it shows up over and over again in the Bible. So I'm going to give you three pictures tonight, three images that we see over and over again in the Bible that just remind us that our proper orientation toward God is receiving. And the first are vines. Vines. We're going to talk about vines, sheep, and brides tonight. Vines, sheep, and brides. The first is vines. Lots of us will be familiar with the picture of the vine from the Bible. Maybe you've heard the verse that Jesus uses in John 15 where he talks about that. We're going to look at that in a moment. But it's really interesting when you think about what it takes to produce wine from a vine and how that really does relate to our spiritual connection to God, our proper orientation toward God. So I got a slide here, 4 for 15. Does anybody know what this means as it relates to grapes and wine? 4 for 15. Any experts? Vintners, is that what you call it? A vintner? Is that what you call it if you're like a wine expert? Can we guess? Yeah, you can guess. What do you think it means? Every 4 grapes out of 15 are good enough for wine. That's a good guess. It's a good guess. It's not what it means, but that's a good guess. Way to be bold. Actually, no, here's what it means. It takes 4 years to get production out of a vine. It takes 4 years to get 15 pounds of grapes from a vine. The first year a vine is on that branch, it is useless. Friends, there's a lesson in that for us spiritually. You better hear that. There is nothing that vine can do. First year, second year, same thing. Third year, grapes still aren't ready to be produced. It takes 4 years of receiving for a vine to produce grapes that you would actually want to drink as wine. 4 for 15 pounds of wine. That is really, really interesting. And I think when we understand that, it helps us understand Jesus' words in John 15 a bit better. Because most of us don't live in a culture of vineyards in the way that they did in Israel in the time of Jesus. But in John 15, Jesus says this. He says, a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus says this, I am the vine, and what he means is he's the trunk, and you are the branches, you are the vines where the grapes grow. And he says, those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Let's just say that last line together, for you can do nothing without me. That is really important for us to understand. And a couple years ago, I had an opportunity to go to a local vineyard and learn a ton about how accurate and just deeply powerful this illustration is that Jesus describes here. And we've got a little snippet of that to show to you guys. So just take a listen to Creso as he describes to us the process of making wine. And how important then, I mean, obviously it's very important, the root structure.
Yeah.
How does that play into the growth of the plant?
Roots on grapes go to 50 feet.
50?
50 feet.
Wow.
And also deep. And they find the water down. Mm-hmm. And why they don't like it too much in rain? Because you know, they know the down there are water.
Okay.
And they find it.
How long would it take a root system to grow that deep?
It's about maybe 10 years.
10 years?
10 years.
Okay.
When you plant in grapes, you know, 3 years, you don't have nothing.
Uh-huh.
Because the roots is not enough, couldn't support.
Right.
If you have lots rain, mm-hmm. roots doesn't go deep because they know they will get, you know, every year moisture. But if you don't have rain and during summer, roots go down themselves, you know, and try find water. Every day I go through vineyard. Every day.
Every day.
Twice.
Every day you hit this vine twice.
Twice. Because you know, the best fertilizer for wine is your shadow. They love it that you touch them. Mm. And why we cutting, you know, this? Because if we don't cut it, you know, will be too much grapes. Okay. And finally, doesn't have enough roots, couldn't support, mm-hmm. they will die.
So again, it goes to the roots. There have to be roots to sustain that growth.
Absolutely. Root system have to be very, you know, good and healthy and strong and spread.
Isn't that powerful? One of the lines that I never forget from that is when he said, the best fertilizer for the vine is your shadow. That the best way for a vine to produce as much fruit as possible is to have intimate contact with the wine, with the winemaker, with the garden keeper. And Jesus describes that as he's describing in John 15 what it means for us to remain in him. It's really interesting, though. Just a couple insights around that. Fruit bearing is not a learned competency for a vine. A vine doesn't get better at fruit bearing. They don't have to train at fruit bearing. All they have to do is be connected to the vine, connected to the branch. If they do that, they will bear fruit. It's not like they got to train really hard to get really good at producing grapes. They just have to have a connection. It doesn't come by effort. It doesn't come by effort. In fact, there's only one thing that will keep a vine from producing fruit, and it's disconnection. That's the only thing that will keep a vine from producing fruit. There's nowhere in this passage, in John 15, there's not a command to bear fruit. Jesus doesn't say, go bear fruit. He says, remain in me. And he who remains in me will bear fruit. It's an outcome. It's not a job. It's not the goal. The goal is not to bear fruit even. The goal for the vine is simply to receive. Jesus just says, remain, receive, stay connected to me. And so the only question really is the quality and the quantity of nutrition. And that's so true for us in our spiritual life. The only question for you as to whether or not you will grow to be someone who can live out the character and the competence of Jesus is the quality and the quantity of your nutrition. What is the nutrition that you and I need? A couple things. We need a steady diet of God's word. We need a steady diet of the truth. A steady diet of God's character and his ways as revealed in the Bible. We just have to eat right. We just have to eat right. The other thing we need is we need the air of his kingdom. That's why we have environments like this where we can come together and we can sing truths about God and we can experience the richness of community and we can do things like have communion together because those are all the air of his kingdom. It's also why we travel to the other side of the world to experience what it's like to see people who have nothing but are more joyful oftentimes than we are with all the stuff that we have. We need the air of his kingdom and we get that as we experience love and truth and worship and prayer in the context of community. And the final thing is we need no undue burdens. No undue burdens. He talked about the fact that if the grapes grow big on the vine at year three, the vine can't support it. It'll fall to the ground. And in the same way, oftentimes we put burdens on ourselves that God didn't put on us. And it's the all the I shoulds. Oh, I should do more of this. I should be working here. I should be doing this. I should be volunteering for that too. I'm already volunteering for 10 things, but I should volunteer for that too. It's like those are the things that keep us from just having a posture of receiving, and they will keep us from bearing fruit. We just need to eat right. We just need to eat right. And so what does it look like for us to receive like a vine? It's about being dependent, and it's about being consuming. That may sound like an oxymoron, counterintuitive, but we need to be great consumers of Jesus and all that he wants to be for us. He wants to be our bread. He wants to be our water. And so we need to be dependent and consuming to receive like a vine. So that's vines. I also said we're going to talk about sheep. We're going to talk about sheep. Interesting thing with sheep. Got another kind of equation up there for you. Oh, that's right. I got one more thing I want to talk about. Thank you, guys. I forgot. Yes. I've been thinking about this as it relates to the week of prayer and fasting. How many people have heard that next week, from the 31st to the 4th, we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting as a community? How many people have heard that? It's not the first time you heard that, right? Yeah. I'm really excited about this for our community. This is actually something I have desired for us for years. Like, man, I just think this will be really rich. And what God has been saying to me around that is there's two ways to go into next week. There's two ways to go into next. We might say there is a route one way to go into next week, and there is a route two way to go into next week. What would route one feel like? What would the route one person think as you kind of put a slide up that says we're having a week of prayer and fasting from August 31st to September 4th? A route one person would be like, great, well, I will know next week if I've won in this game because I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to do it. In fact, I'm going to do it for 2 weeks just to make sure God knows I'm in, right? You know, it would be easy to look at that and say, well, that's another chore, that's a job. And what God has been saying to me is so clear. He said, you know when you need to fast? You should fast when you're hungry. Not physically hungry, though. You should fast when you're spiritually hungry. When you're in a place where you're like, man, I need God. I need God. That's a great time to fast, because then fasting isn't this job you're doing to prove how much you love God, but it's you saying, God, you know what? I'm going to turn away the dinner table so I can sit at the buffet table of your presence and get everything you want from me and have from me. Everything. So I hope you go into Monday through Friday hungry. You will be hungry if you do it, by the way. You will be hungry. But I want you to be spiritually hungry, because it's an opportunity to receive. You know why God would call you that? He would call you that because he is literally backing up a truck right now of blessing. He's backing up a truck right now of things that will nourish the deep, deep parts of your soul. And he's saying, would you just come to the buffet table and eat? Just come and eat. Who's hungry? Who wants to eat? That's the invitation. That's the invitation. Dependent and consuming like a vine. Sheep. Sheep. I do have a slide for sheep. Yes, I do. So, sheep. Got another number kind of quiz for you. So, I don't know. Anybody here a shepherd? I didn't think so. Maybe there's. I don't know. Sheep are receivers. They're actually really good receivers. What does 1 in 4 mean? Again, these pictures are so humbling for me. As a Route 1 person, because that's the way I came into faith and had to unlearn some things, it's so humbling. 1 in 4, a sheep spends a fourth of its life being productive. The rest of the time, it is just consuming. What does that mean? It's probably 1 in every 10 years that a sheep will be sheared for its wool, if you were going to grow a sheep for wool. So obviously, the sign of a healthy sheep is a fat, hairy sheep. Fat and hairy. But that doesn't happen every season of a sheep's life. And they're not ready to be shorn every season of their life. Literally, for a quarter of their life, a sheep is quote-unquote productive. And that's by design. That's by design. And so again, all throughout the Bible, we see God referring to himself as the shepherd and referring to us as the sheep. Another interesting thing about sheep, the number one impediment to having a healthy sheep, you know what it is? Anxiety. Sheep are skittish. They scare very easily. And the number one thing that keeps a sheep from being healthy is being anxious. Now, I know that has no connection to us. I mean, just try to go there in your mind of what it would be like to feel anxious all the time. Just go in your mind there, right? I mean, because none of us struggle with that. But no, there's something to be said there. The number one impediment to a sheep being healthy is anxiety. And so the truth is, while the haters are going to hate, you and I are a lot more like sheep than we think. We're a lot more like sheep than we think. So Jesus says to us in John 10:14-15, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me, and I am willing to die for them. Sheep are actually most productive when they have very little contact with human beings, save one, their shepherd. And over time, it's amazing. I mean, you can see these on YouTube. The ability of a sheep to know the voice of their shepherd is mind-blowing. They know their shepherd, and their shepherd knows them. That relationship is so intimate. That relationship is so connected. And a sheep needs that relationship to be as tight as it can be, for the sheep to be as healthy as can be. Because that shepherd is the only way that sheep's going to get fat. The only way that sheep's going to get fat is if that shepherd leads that sheep to good pasture where they can graze and feed and get fat. They need that shepherd. They are utterly dependent on the shepherd. Are you utterly dependent on Jesus? What is your relationship like with him? I mean, when I say your ability to be healthy is based on your relationship with Jesus, what do you think of? Is Jesus, at that moment, as you think about that name, Jesus, is he just a historical figure to you? Is he a concept that maybe you get close to when you're in settings like this, but for your real life out there, he doesn't really have a place? Or when I say Jesus, do you think about Jesus the same way you think about the name of a friend or the name of a spouse or the name of someone who is like, no, I know that that person is a part of my life. Friends, that's what Jesus invites us into. He's saying, I want you to know me like I know the Father. That level of intimacy. And I know you that way. And when we're in that place, we can be healthy. We can be fruitful. Psalm 23. We see this again in the Bible where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Why quiet waters? Because sheep will not drink fast-moving waters. It makes them skittish. It's moving too fast. They won't drink fast-moving waters. They're too afraid. Why do we need to have our soul restored? Because we need to be put right often. Oftentimes, sheep go astray, right? And they need the shepherd to, with the rod and with the staff, put them right. We need the same thing. And let me just tell you, if you have an intimate, familiar relationship with someone who cares for you that way, it will change your life. And that's what Jesus invites us into, because as we step into that place, we step into a place of real trust. Real trust. I was thinking about this in my own journey with the Lord, particularly as it relates around money. I've talked plenty of times around just how money has been a place where I can be skittish. Money can be a place where I think a lot of us can experience a level of anxiety. And I've really seen growth in my life in that place as I've just come to the Lord over and over again as a dumb sheep and just, I'm afraid again, right? You know, just being honest about where I am. I have really grown in that area only as I've just sat at his feet and said, I need you to help me. And what that's looked like for me is it doesn't mean that I never freak out when a money crisis comes, but there's a quicker turn from, oh my goodness, I can't resolve this, to saying, okay, I'm going to my shepherd. Because you knew this, and you're going to take care of me. And I think about all the things that he's done. And I look at that and say, that didn't come from me working really hard on mustering up the courage to not get anxious. But what it came from was just following the voice of the shepherd in the times when I was skittish. When I was near fast-moving waters, just turning and saying, I need to find my shepherd. I need to find where my shepherd is right now. And that has been the way that growth has happened for me. So what does it look like for us to receive like a sheep? It's about us having an intimate relationship with Jesus, and it's about us having a trusting relationship with him. We sung tonight, forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. And I tell you, a song like that takes on much more meaning when you've actually tested him and tried him for yourself. When you've turned to the shepherd in your time of need and said, help, help. When you've done that, you realize, man, he is faithful over and over again. Final image is that of a bride. Brides are also receivers. Now, when I talk about brides, I just want to say, we talk about gender roles, and you may hear about gender roles a lot in our culture. Gender roles is not something that was sociologically made up in the 1950s. It has existed for all of creation, and we see it in the very foundation of God creating men and women, both created in his image. And the beautiful picture of those complementary reflections of who God is shows up often, or should show up all the time, in a marriage. I want to give you a couple interesting facts about marriage in our culture. Just some things that strike me. So this is looking at the marriage rate by generation. So basically, between the ages of 18 and 32, what's the percentage of people who were married in the silent generation, 1960, I don't know if they call them silent because they're dead or what. I don't know why they call them that, but in 1960, 65% of people between the ages of 18 and 32 were married. In 1980, in the boomer generation, 48% were married. In 1997, 36% were married. And in 2013, this is a couple years old, in the millennial generation, only 26% are married. Now, clearly there's a decline happening there. Why? I would submit to you one of the reasons for the decline in marriage is because people have not seen that institution succeed. And millennials are afraid of it. Not all millennials, painting with a broad brush, but clearly you can see there's some difference. And yes, that's not the only reason that millennials aren't marrying at earlier rates, but that I think that drives it. I do think that drives it. What you believe about that, how secure do you think that covenant really is? Now, on the flip side, there's an interesting study that was done. New York Times referenced it, but it showed up in, I think it was like the Journal of Economics. And basically, this study summarized and said, people who are married report happiness rates 30% higher than people who are not. So I think it's interesting that there is a decline in the percentage of people getting married, and yet the evidence would support that being in that kind of covenant, trusting relationship actually boosts your happiness. There's something to be said there. There's something to be said there as it relates to God's view of that covenant, and particularly God's view of the unique role of a husband and a wife in the context of marriage. So I'm going to read a scripture to you, and this is a scripture that can often be controversial. So I'll just say that right up front. But I hope that you can see it in the context, not even of human marriage, but of our relationship to God and our proper orientation of receiving to God. So because of that, I'm going to read it in reverse. I'm actually going to read Ephesians 5, but I'm going to start with verses 25 through 30, which talk about the role of the husband. And it says this. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." I just want to emphasize some things here. Love, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He cleanses her. He sanctifies her. He presents her in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He nourishes and cherishes her. So I have a question for the wives and the would-be wives in the room. Wives and would-be wives in the room. By show of applause, how many of you would be very happy to follow a husband who lived up to that? By show of applause, I would think that's something that's desirable, right? Right? Yeah, I mean, that's the standard. That's the standard. So with that context of the way Jesus loves his bride, the church, again, I'm talking about Jesus and us tonight. This isn't a marriage talk. In that context, the way Jesus loves his bride, the church, and men, yes, we are called a bride in the Bible. So we got to get used to wearing that label as it relates to our collective stance before Jesus. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24 says this, "Wives, church, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband has authority over his wife, just as Christ has authority over the church. And Christ is himself the Savior of the church, his body. And so wives must submit themselves completely to their husbands, just as the church submits itself to Christ." Now, stick with me, ladies, because again, I'm not talking about marriage. This isn't a marriage talk. There's a place for that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about collectively as the bride, our posture before Jesus. And there's just some things that are abundantly clear in this scripture. It makes an immediate connection between the relationship between a married couple and the relationship between us, the church, and Jesus. And there are some very specific instructions around how we are to respond in that relationship. And I'll just say this, submitting to that kind of self-sacrificial love is not scary. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. As you read this verse, are wives expected, according to this passage, to make anything happen? To make anything happen. Are they supposed to work to make their husbands love them? Does it say, wives, work really hard to make your husbands love you? Is that what it says in this verse? No. Are they supposed to fret and stress about whether they're accepted or approved? He nourishes and cherishes her. She's not fretting about whether or not she's approved or not. That's not even in the conversation here. What the wife does is joyfully follow the leadership of a husband who has laid down his life for her. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. In our relationship with Jesus, what does that look like? It means that as followers of Jesus, as receivers, we're to be available and responsive to Jesus, our husband. In Isaiah, it says, your maker is your husband. And we're to be available and responsive to our husband. So let me put it all together. What does it mean to be a receiver? Receivers are dependent, consuming, intimate, trusting, available, and responsive to Jesus. That sounds good to me. I like that. I'll take that deal. Anybody else with me? I'll take that deal. I'll take that. Sounds great, but it's not easy to do, is it? It's not easy to live that way. You know, what if you're more like a bride who says, I don't trust. I don't trust Jesus. I want to do it myself. Jesus, let me help you out. Let me help you out. Or what if you're a vine that wants to detach and do their own thing? Or what if you're like the lone sheep that thinks you can make it out on your own, even though there are wolves around you? Man, we all have moments when we respond that way to Jesus. And the beautiful thing about this relationship with Jesus is when we find ourselves going in a direction that is not his heart for us, he gives us the beautiful gift of repentance. And all that means is, wait a second, I'm acting as if I can produce fruit apart from the vine. Let me go back to the vine. Wait a second. I'm a sheep. I don't know what I'm doing out here. I don't know what good pasture looks like. Let me find my shepherd. Oh, I'm a bride. I'm married. I am wedded to Jesus. Why am I acting like I'm still single? I'm going back to find my husband. And that's what it means to repent. So we're going to have an opportunity to do that. We're going to have an opportunity to put this into practice tonight, to receive through worship, through communion, and actually to receive through repentance. So, you got that Sharpie? Everybody take out that Sharpie. Told you we're going to need that. Let's put those six words back up if we could, actually. Dependent, consuming, intimate, trusting, available, and responsive. Based on what you heard tonight, I want you to pick which one of those words is the biggest challenge for you right now. Do you struggle being dependent? Do you struggle just making space to just drink in who Jesus is? Like time and schedule just keeps you from drinking in the bread, drinking in the water that he has for you or eating the bread of life. Is it the intimacy thing? Is there like this, like, I don't want to get too close. I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know if Jesus will accept me if he gets that close. I don't know what it is, but that's a struggle for you. Is it trust? Is trust your struggle? Do you struggle to be available to Jesus? Are there just parts of your life that are just quite frankly off limits and you're still living like you're single? And like he doesn't have a reason or a role to speak into that part of your life. Or is it being responsive to him? Yeah, you hear it, but obedience is slow or non-existent. What is the area you're struggling with right now? Whatever that is for you, I want you to write that word. You can write it on a piece of paper if you don't want to write on your own skin. I'm going to write it on my skin, though. I want to challenge you to write that word down. You can write it on a piece of paper. You can write it on your hand. You could write it on your forehead, but that would just be weird. But I want you to pick what that word is, and I want you to write it for yourself. I put down the word trusting, and one of the ways I know that that's a word that I'm wrestling with is I get sped up in my life, and I'm just like, my wheels are spinning, and I'm trying to keep all these plates in the air, and I just know when I'm sped up, there are things that I am holding on to that I need to just surrender to Jesus and just say, I can't do this. I can't fix this. So my word is trusting. Now, here's what I want you to do. You've got a word. Next thing I want you to do is you're going to practice confession. And so I'd like for you to find the person that you were talking to earlier. And this time I want you to tell them what your word is, and I want you to just briefly tell them why this is the word that you struggle with. You don't have to go deep, deep, deep into the deep souls of your life. You're not going to have time to do that. But I'd love for you to begin to practice a level of vulnerability and honesty with someone who is on the same journey, who just wants to be a friend in this moment and encourage you along. So I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes. I just want you to take 2.5 minutes a person. Talk about your word, why you picked it, and then we'll come back together and I'll tell you what we're going to do next. So go ahead and find that partner. Take 5 minutes total, 2.5. Talk about your word. ready. Second person should be talking. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead and take a seat. So what we're going to do for the rest of our time is we're going to practice receiving. Who's up for practicing tonight? We're going to practice receiving. We're going to do that through a couple of things. We're going to have communion in a moment. We're going to sing some more songs together. But I want you to do something right now that's receiving truth from God. So take that Sharpie back out. And as you guys were chatting it up out there, I was chatting with God. And I just felt like I had a prompting. So I told you trusting was my word. But I added two words to my hand. And now I have trusting in God. Because that's the truth that I want to live in. So I want to ask you guys to add to your hand or add to your paper the truth that you want to live in. So if your struggle was dependent, I want you to put dependent on God. If your struggle was consuming, I want you to say consuming God. If your struggle was being intimate, I want you to write intimate with God. If your struggle was trusting, put trusting in God. If it's available, that's your struggle, put, I am available to God. And if it was responsive, put, I am responsive to God. Because I believe that you can actually agree with God right now that this is who I am. Because of what Jesus has done, this is who I am. I am a person who trusts in God. And all the places in my life that don't line up with this are lies, and those are the places I want to receive more of his power so that I live out who I really am. Because the truth is, I am a vine. And as I remain in Jesus, I will bear much fruit. The truth is, I am a sheep. But I have a good shepherd. And he leads me to good pastures. And I'm going to be fat and hairy in a spiritual sense. I'm going to be fat and hairy in a spiritual sense. And the truth is, even though I'm a husband, I am a bride when it comes to my relationship to Jesus. And the truth is, man, he is working out a beautiful, splendid me that will blow me away. And one day I'll be presented to him with all of you who are in the family of God as a beautiful, spotless bride. That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's receive that. Let's receive that. We're going to take communion. I'm going to invite our communion volunteers to come to their stations. We have stations along the front here. We have stations on the lower level and the first balcony in the back as well. And as they're coming to their stations, I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And I want to read a scripture. And this is a scripture that I went to, as you guys know, I grew up in a very traditional black church in some ways. And one of the things that we would do is every time we'd have communion, when it was communion Sunday, all the servers of communion wore white gloves. Did anybody else grow up in a white glove communion church? Well, if you did, you probably heard this scripture every time communion was raised, was offered in the church. And I love the way this verse begins. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. And some of you could probably quote this verbatim with me. It says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." And I just want to stop there for a moment. What we see here is this is Paul. If there's anybody who's a spiritual ninja, it's Paul. And what is the ninja telling you? I had to receive something from the Lord. And that's what I'm offering to you. He's modeling everything we've talked about tonight. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And so tonight we have someone who will hand you a piece of bread. And it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. This is my body for you to receive. That's what Jesus is saying. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. What's the new covenant? The new covenant is route one is dead and gone. And now there is grace. The way that we come into relationship is through grace. That's what Jesus' new covenant is all about. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So tonight, as we take communion, it is in a very real way about receiving. Maybe some of you here have never said yes to Jesus in that way. You've been working route one. You've been trying to do it on your own. Or you've just been independent and trying to do it totally apart from God. And maybe tonight, for the first time, something clicked for you. And you realize that the only thing you have to quote-unquote do to step into all that God has for you is simply receive what he's offering. And I'll just tell you, if tonight you are ready to receive that way, tonight can be your first communion. Your first act can be not an effort, but simply coming and receiving a piece of bread, dipping it in the wine or the juice, and recognizing that that represents what Jesus has done for you. And for others of us, we have had that moment of receiving, but all of us struggle. And tonight, as you take communion, it's an opportunity to once again put yourself in your proper orientation to God, which is that of a receiver. So tonight, whether it's for your first time or your 101st time, the table of the Lord is open. Come and receive communion, and let's continue to receive through worship as well.
Light of the world, you step down in the darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
I am to worship. Here I am to bow.
to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You were worthy of it all. You were worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. beginning and the end, Jesus. Yours is the name above all names, Jesus. The beginning and the end, Jesus. Yours is the name. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. Far from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I am loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. We'll be right back.
raise the banner high. It's not for us, it's all for you. Let the heavens shake, let the heavens shake, split the sky. Let the people clap their hands and cry. It's not for us, it's all for you. The cross before me, the cross before me will be high. Returning bright, raise the banner high. It's not for us, it's all for you. Yeah, let the heavens shake and split the sky. Let our people climb, the hands and cry. It's not for us, yeah, it's all for you.
Filled up. I don't know about you, but I feel filled up. And yet, there are more ways to receive. And so what I want to do right now is invite our prayer team to come to the front. We're done for tonight, but what I would say is this. Our prayer team loves to pray for people who are hungry to receive. For people who say, hey, man, I'd love for you to pray for me. And so what I want to encourage you to do right now is a couple things. Hey, if you're filled up, you're good, man, you can pick up your kids. We're glad you're here. We'll see you next month. If you need to connect in a group and you don't have an exchange group, head right on over to Meeting Room C, and they will be there to help you get connected to a group. And if you want to stay for prayer, as you can see, we've got our prayer team coming to the front. They would love to pray with you, maybe about the thing that is now true for you, that you're saying, hey, help me. I want to pray that I'm walking out of here trusting in God, depending on God. So all of those are available for you. I'm just going to pray and dismiss. And God, we thank you. We thank you that we get to receive you. We thank you for the good gift that is you. And God, I just pray that we would be great receivers, great consumers, great dependers on you, that we would be available and responsive to you, that we would be intimate and trusting of you, because it's not to us, but to your name. Be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.